Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, taking a look at consumer protection issues today with you and zeroing a little bit for a while on smartphones. The convenience with these smartphones is absolutely amazing. Been using smartphones for all kinds of things. Just this last time I flew, as a matter of fact, I had, instead of having the ticket, I had the ticket imprint in my smartphone. I had a smartphone out there and just held it in front, and away we went. And there's all kinds of ways to where they come into play and make life pretty convenient. But they've also been targeted more by scammers lately. And we'll talk about that with our two guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, good to see you again.
Nice to be here, Larry.
And Michelle, thank you so much for coming by as well. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, why are scammers suddenly, well, at least they seem to be suddenly, or more, at least more frequently targeting smartphones?
Well, as you know, Larry, criminals are pretty smart people, and they're very good at staying a step ahead of us, and they follow where the money is, and that's why they're very active over the holidays, because they know so much money is exchanging hands. So the number one reason they're targeting smartphones right now is that almost everybody has one.
Yeah.
And second, so many people are using smartphones now. There are apps like Apple Pay and Google Wallet that are so popular. So it's not too difficult in some cases for a hacker to get access to your credit card information. And then so many people are using their smartphones to do their banking online.
Yeah.
Most banks have mobile apps. It's very convenient to do that. But as I said, criminals will go where the money is and where they have the most opportunity to make money for themselves.
Yeah. There are some ways we can at least try to protect ourselves. What are some good tips for smartphone using? The smartphone is what I should say.
Well, locking your phone with a password is certainly the first line of defense. And so whether you put a password protection on your home screen, and so you have to enter it to use it, is one idea. But at the very least, you should password protect any app that you have that allows a payment to be made, because that can be used to get your credit card or banking information if it's hacked into.
So that's a very important thing. What else have we got that we should do? Michelle, do you want to add in here?
Sure. You don't want to modify the security settings on the phone. I mean, they're set for a certain level and to keep you protected and your information behind the phone. So unless you really know what you're doing, don't be
fussing around with that.
Yeah, keep it to the settings. And be sure that you, as Sandy mentioned, you're doing those updates as security patches come through, as platform updates come through, and operating systems. Be sure that you're putting those extra security downloads in place that you are receiving notifications to on your phone. And then that next step is to back it up. Back up that data, back up the phone and the apps that you have on there to help protect your information, keep it secure. If something happens to it, you have the basic foundation and can back into that.
Are some smartphones more at risk for being hacked than others, or is it pretty much no matter what you got, you better be careful?
Well, it seems that most criminals are targeting the Android phones only because that's what most people have worldwide. But there was a recent situation in China where some open, unlocked Apple phones were hacked into. So, but again, you know, they'll go where the opportunities are to make money.
Yeah. What is geotagging? Somebody asked, what is geotagging? Is that's come up in the news recently, kind of a location services sort of thing. That can put you, I would think that would be something you'd really want to think about before you
Right. And so geotagging, you know, real basic explanation of it is it's adding the GPS coordinates, adding location data to the information that's out there. So if you are taking pictures with your smartphone device and don't realize that you have the GPS locator services on with the pictures, you'll be documenting in all the data behind the code behind that picture where that picture was taken. And then if you turn around and post it on a social networking site such as Facebook, hackers or anyone can go in and look at the metadata behind it and turn around and figure out where that picture was taken. So you need to think about what's in that picture. Was it one of your home and there's a great piece of artwork? Potential robbery. If you're on a vacation and traveling and you take it and say, hey, we just got back from the pool, now someone knows that you're out of town, and if they have other pictures there, know where your home is. And again, a potential robbery. Children, I mean, that goes beyond our privacy protection identity theft, but that's the concept behind that. And so the same thing can happen with your map apps and many of the other apps that are out there. You need to be aware and look in, you know, I have an iPhone, so the location services, and where is it that I'm allowing data to be transmitted in those apps and track where I've been?
Yeah, it's kind of scary in some ways. You know, it's sort of like people know wherever you are at any moment.
You have to be very thoughtful about how you use all these convenient apps and applications. But most phones come with the location services on as a default. So you may want to think about switching it to off. And then if you want to use it for navigation, then turn it on. But leaving it on all the time exposes you to some risk.
Okay.
And a lot of times you can turn it on for just that one application or just that one service, either permanently or temporarily. And you can still limit it from all the others. So that's
another
that extra layer of being conscious of what you're doing.
Well, we have some callers online who want to visit with you, so let's go to the phones. By the way, there are still a couple of open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And to do that, the Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. So certainly happy to have you use any of those avenues. And Pat in Wauwatosa used the phone avenue, so let's go there. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling.
I do not have a computer, but last night, for the third time, I received a phone call telling me that I was experiencing computer difficulties and to press 1. And I thought they mentioned they said Microsoft, but I could be mistaken, but I just thought I'd share that. When I wondered if that is some kind of a scam for computer owners that's going on.
I bet you it is, Sandy.
That's probably one of the most common complaints and calls we've received on our hotline over the past few months. And this is a scam. It's been around for a year or two, or maybe a little more. But people hear a voice saying, this is Microsoft tech support, and it adds some validity, and nobody wants anything to go wrong with their computer. So what they typically do is ask you for a credit card payment in order to fix your computer. Mm. Sometimes they may ask for you to go in and do some things that give them remote access to your computer, which is even worse. Because for people who shop online, do their taxes online, look at medical records online, just think about all the personal and financial information that they would then have access to. So Microsoft says they will never, ever call a person with this kind of information or request. People with Microsoft computers know that when there's an update, you'll have a pop-up window on your PC. So it's a very common scam. The Federal Trade Commission has taken down a number of these operations, which are international, and still others pop up.
So, Pat, I'm glad you called in with that. It's just a good reminder and a good thing for us to get back out to people. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And Linda in Madison, we turn to you next. Hi, Linda. Thank you for calling.
Well, just like Pat, I got one of those calls within the last month to 6 weeks, and I hung up because I knew it was a scam. But I kept getting calls right after, and the numbers kept changing on the caller ID, and I figured it's that person. If they want to talk to me, they'll leave a message. Finally, the person left a message, and it was the scammer saying I was rude for hanging up on him, which I found kind of ironic because he's trying to scam me, and I'm the rude one. So I thought I would share that humorous adventure with potential fraud.
Well, thanks, Linda. Now, there must be some reason, psychological reason or something, for them, for the scammer to do that. Do you think the scammer hopes then that the person's going to call back to give them a piece
sure.
of their mind?
They're trying to guilt you into answering the phone. And sometimes these Microsoft tech scams are robocalls, but many times they're live people. So that shows you that for the criminal, it's worth their time to sit all day and call numbers because that scam works.
It's really, really, really a shame. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Have you been a victim of a scam or did you narrowly avoid one? We'd love to hear your story as well. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Rebecca Haas, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, though, we're talking consumer protection scams. We've zeroed in a bit on security for phones and computers, but certainly, if you have a different type of scam to talk about, we're more than happy to take that, too. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Tanya in Green Bay next. Tanya, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me. Kind of like your previous callers, I had actually been on my computer when a message popped up on the face of the computer. I actually paid the money for them to quote-unquote remote in. Thankfully, I didn't have any information they could steal, but it kind of was dawning on me as this was going on. I tried to call Microsoft and got through to them, and they said, you know what, close down your bank accounts immediately. I went and did all of that. It was kind of like a really big nightmare, very nerve-wracking because it happened on a weekend. And then just recently, I had somebody Facebook friend me, and it said that they were friends with a really, really, really good friend of mine. So usually I don't accept anybody unless I personally know them, and had then started getting messaging through Facebook Messenger. And the person wanting to know various things about me, and just kind of eventually ended up giving my phone number. Now, nothing has happened, but recently that person asked me, hey, would you buy me an iTunes card? So I Googled that and found out that that's kind of like one of the biggest scams going on right now. So kind of just wanted to know if that happens, if there's any recourse, if you can contact any agencies or anything like that to get these people caught.
Well, it's hard to catch those people, I think, Sandy. There are complaints that you can certainly file, but what?
Yeah, most likely that person is sitting halfway across the world, you know, which makes it very, very difficult to track down. I'll go first back to your tech support question. What happens often is that if you give these people remote access to your computer, they will install malicious software that allows them to either read what's on your computer, access your keystrokes, which could include passwords, banking information, a number of things. And so that's why you were advised to change credit card numbers and close down accounts and so forth. There also is a lot of fraud connected to social media, and that's because more than a billion people are on Facebook every day. You know, so just think of the opportunities there. And what this person was doing was first posing as a friend of a friend, you know, trying to establish a relationship with you, and then over time building trust and then coming in for the big ask. I'm pretty sure you can block people on Facebook, and I would do that immediately. And just be very, very cautious about friend requests. And anytime somebody you don't know asks you for money or credit card information, just cut it off there.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Tanya, for calling. It is difficult. And I get lots of friend requests, partly because, you know, sort of in my position. And the fact that we have a Facebook page for the radio program, a lot of people will send a request to me on my personal page thinking that's the radio program page. And so I have to be pretty careful about, you know, because we have over 10,000 people on our Facebook page, my radio program page, and that's great, but I prefer, you know, not to have people I don't know on my personal page. So it's hard. But I have blocked people. Mm-hmm. I've gone on and blocked people, and it's surprising sometimes you get requests from women, for example, that you know perfectly well are not connected with the show or not connected with anything, but they'll be a revealing photo. And I wonder if any other people get this. They want to be friends with you. And you just take one look and go to the person's site, and it's odd, you know, it's usually some strange information there. And so I immediately just get rid of that particular request.
Yeah. Michelle was speaking to some of our federal partnering agencies, and we work on a regular basis with agencies like the FBI and Secret Service. But they mentioned seeing a real spike lately in romance scams. And that's when, you know, you'll be on a dating site or, you know, have a friend request. And these people will work very hard to build up a long-term relationship, and they'll really invest a lot of time into this relationship and establishing trust.
That's what it's all for.
And if you think you're in love and somebody, your online friend says, you know, my mother's in the hospital, I can't pay the medical bills, I need $20,000. We see this kind of thing happen.
Boy.
And sometimes it targets the elderly or recently divorced, but it is a real problem. And just because our federal partners have seen a recent spike, that's something that you should be looking out for now. And if you have elderly friends or relatives, something to warn them about as well.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not saying you're elderly, Larry. I would never say that.
Well, I'm older than I was yesterday, for sure. but it was sort of quite a little eye-opener, because I've gotten several of those requests over the last, I don't know, 3-4 months.
It is so easy to get drawn into these questionable websites, and we've seen a spike also recently in this ransomware, which I think that your last caller also mentioned, where you'll just visit a website and this malicious software will download onto your computer and lock all your files.
Betty in Door County has a question for us, so let's go to her. Hi, Betty. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I was trying to get into Google Chrome, and I have quite a bit of organizational materials on Google Drive. I couldn't get onto Google Chrome, so I tried to identify their official number to get in touch with them. And actually, I thought I'm usually very cautious. I did get someone I thought at the official Google Chrome whatever number, and they actually led me through, told me that my computer had crashed or almost crashed, that they showed me a screen where they showed me how many programs had shut down. they told me that I, you know, really had a problem. This was coming from Mexico. So I was this. I did give them remote access. I'm usually super cautious, as I said, but they were very convincing. And at the very end, he showed me a website, Smart Snake, and told me that I needed one for $199 or 1 year or 3 year protection. So at that point, I really felt that this was not, was a scam, probably.
Right.
And I hung up and I called McAfee, who is my, security protection. And they went through everything with me and all the programs with me. And everything was fine. But my question is, am I at risk? And what should I do?
So McAfee couldn't find anything?
No. And what I was told by someone else is this is a new thing, too, where basically they go through all this with you. They show you screens that they actually make up. And that they, at the end, just want money. They're not taking your information. But I don't know. And I don't know how much and what to do exactly to protect myself.
Yeah. All right. Comments? Michelle, do you want to?
Well, it's a tough one in that you did give access to someone and we're not sure who it is. And it's easy to go out on the internet and think that you are finding a phone number for a legitimate company and find an imposter out there that's trying to be Google Chrome and give you a false phone number so they can lead you down this other path and get this remote access. So not knowing for sure that you got that right phone number, it doesn't sound like you did lock in on that phone number, there is cause for concern. And so then you have to evaluate what is it that you do on your computer and what do you use to access? Do you do electronic banking? Do you file your taxes? So how do you use it that way? So what information could be transmitted out there to whomever could be monitoring? It's good that you went to your protection software that you used and called them and they did an exam of your computer and you want to make sure you have that clean machine and run all that virus protection to look for things. But I would be monitoring my credit reports and I'd be monitoring my banking if I do all of that on there and just keep track of things. And if you see anything, then, you know, maybe you talk to someone in person at, you know, different tech support people, the Geek Squad or the Apple Geniuses and things, and have them looking at your machine in person.
Yeah. Have you heard of Smart Snake?
I have not.
Okay.
I don't believe Sandy has either.
That one, you might Google that one just to see what pops up.
I did Google them. It's a mixed bag because they're both supposedly this very smart tech problem solver. And then there are scams, too, so it's hard to know, are they, you know, legitimate?
Which one is which? Yeah, which one is which?
Yeah, you have to pay attention when you Google, because quite often the first two or three listings will be questionable, and they must buy space at the top. And, of course, Google can't monitor every single ad buyer out there in the world. I just had the experience of Googling annualcreditreport.com, and the first four or five listings were not the real annualcreditreport.com that's the, you know, the federally protected site. So be very careful about what turns up on your Google searches.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, Betty. Good luck. Appreciate your call. I'm going to give Marilyn in Washburn a chance to join us. Marilyn, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, hi, you guys. This is very helpful. I'm calling just to give a bit of a warning to other people because this happened to me. I do not do anything on the computer like banking or anything like that, but I phone call, you know, like I'll just phone call to pay my bills, you know, like my charge card. And I was one phone number off and calling, and they answered, and it was as if I were calling the correct number, and they started asking me very bizarre questions, and I was like, what is this? I'm like, you know, I don't want to say it was Sears or Penny's or something like that, but Then I hung up because I knew, just the way they were behaving, and I called that number back because I thought usually if you called that number back, it doesn't even exist. This man answers, and the woman who talked earlier, he started intimidating me. He was like, well, you called me, and I'm like, who are you? So I went ahead and I called, Sears, or I called them. I called the correct number, and I talked to a man. I said, do you understand this is happening? And he said, it happens all the time, and there's nothing we can do about it because, they can have these phone numbers that are like ours, and they can set up anywhere. So I have no idea what they were even trying to do to me, except I think it's, even low-tech people, be careful when you dial your phone number. Make sure you've dialed the number that you're trying to really reach. I was one number off.
Yeah.
So it's a low-tech issue, but it's just a little something to think about. So I'm old, so I'm going to get one of those phones with the big numbers on it,
Yeah,
but I just wanted to give people a heads up because it really was a low tech thing, and it was kind of creepy. These things are creepy. So,
yeah, it definitely is creepy, Marilyn. And thanks a lot for calling, Sandy. You have a comment from you?
We've heard from people who have had this experience when calling Medicare and Social Security. Also, so criminals obviously know that there are enough misdials. To make it worth paying for those extra lines. And it's not unusual to have very aggressive criminals on the other end of the phone.
So they're just taking up those numbers.
Sure,
buying them up, and
people misdial a lot.
And they can make they're going to make money out of it.
Right.
Thanks again, Marilyn, for calling. It's a good tip and a good reminder for people. Let's go to Michael in New Berlin next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I had a very unusual thing happen. About 2 weeks ago, my credit card got spoofed, and I had to get a new one. But just yesterday, I received a cash debit card from Walmart with my name on it that I didn't solicit, I didn't sign up for. I wonder, what good does it do the criminals to sign up for a credit debit card in my name that's being shipped to my address? I'm just floored by trying to figure out how that's going to gain them anything.
Did it have cash loaded on it? Or
No, it was
okay.
Empty. It was almost like they wanted me to load cash onto it that they could steal it, but I called and got it canceled right away.
And it's not something that Walmart itself was doing.
Well, it's a Walmart in-name credit debit card. It's something that was in their name.
Huh.
Something you have to go online and sign up for, sign up, have it shipped to your address so you can have a debit credit card in their name.
So shaking our heads here, but the whole where this could lead to, it could have been an easy test scenario to see if they had enough information to get a card issued in your name. And the next step is to do the intercept. So now if they could get this card, they could step it up to a different kind of card and do a mail intercept to get that. I mean, that's looking at a very big picture of where could this lead to. Could it just have been an error? Could it just have been something else? Sure. But looking at a where it goes picture, it could be that type of thing. We can't forget to acknowledge the low-tech scam. I mean, that came up with the last caller on the phone. The low-tech scam is still the good old identity thieves get information from the dumpsters. There's dumpster divers. There's mail intercept by rerouting your mail and just, failure to shred, taking information that way out of the dumpster documents. And it starts off small, but that's the low-tech version versus all the data breaches and the hacking into computer information. So this is a potential. I would look at my credit report, see if there's anything else taken out in your name, and be monitoring that to see if this leads to someplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, another good idea for you may be to put a security freeze on your credit report if you don't have one already. And you can find information on how to do that on our website. It's datcp.wi.gov.
So datcp.wi.gov.
Right.
Yeah, there we go. And I think, Rebecca, if we get that up on our Facebook page, we may have that up on our Facebook page, a link to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Yeah, she's nodding yes. So we've got it up there. You can go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show to get that as well. And Michael, thanks. Ken in Milwaukee, on to you now. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
When I think about the cloud, I don't think about a nice, warm, well-lit, secure building. I think about an old, run-down industrial building in Hoboken or Hackensack that not only can be hacked via Wi-Fi, but can be physically broken into. And I'm worried about the security of the cloud. Can you speak about that a little bit?
All right. What about the security of the cloud? Michelle, comment?
You know, I can't speak to everything that they have. That's an individual product by a one manufacturer, you know, to make mm-hmm. that simple. And we don't do the comparative. You're asking the right questions, though. What's the security behind the cloud? Where is it located? What data am I putting out there and allowing others to protect or potentially access? What's in place from the hackers? So when you're putting things out in the cloud, if it's photos or tax records or whatever, being aware of that and monitoring, and then who else are you allowing access to that cloud? So what are your other means of backing up data or sharing it, and are they more or less secure? But that's an individual comparison research type situation and a personal choice is if you want to use that.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Ken, for calling. Good point to raise. Appreciate your call. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org, or again, post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, just go to The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page, and we can get you on board pretty quickly. And Greg with a question next. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and guest. My question is related to flashlight apps on your phones, on your smartphones. I recently heard, and then I saw it in print also, that they open up all kinds of security issues if you download a flashlight app to your smartphone. And that's such a convenient app. You hate to see that, but is there any truth to that?
Boy, I have not heard of that. What do you think?
I haven't either heard of it. But again, whenever you're downloading an app, it's looking at the privacy policy and what they say that app entails. So who are they sharing your information with? Because there is a download situation there. You're allowing access to your device. So always be looking at that. I know my phone came with one preloaded, and so it's part of the basic security settings, and I can choose to remove it or not. But looking at that and making sure that if you do choose to use it, you're doing all the latest updates or, you know, checking what those updates are and if they're changing those privacy settings and policies.
Yeah, it's okay. The best policy to only use an app store, mm-hmm. Google Play or iTunes for an iPhone. So I have gotten a lot of email spam lately wanting me to download apps. Well, I'm not going to do that because I don't know where they originated. And so many of these bad apps, for lack of a better word, have viruses. They can steal information and cause harm to your phone's contents in a number of ways. So only install apps from trusted sources.
I was thinking about the Badger football game, which was a night game here a couple weeks back, and in about the third quarter, I think, suddenly there was the whole student section. Everybody had a flashlight on their smartphone, so we had just hundreds and thousands, literally, of lights all at the same time. So there's a lot of them out there, that's for sure. Thanks, Greg. Mark in Washington, your turn. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Actually, I'm listening to you on the WPR app on my smartphone since I am in Washington State. But actually, I had two questions. I wonder if the guests could give some suggestions for more easily blocking robocall phone numbers on either smartphones or landlines. a lot of the service providers limit the number of phone numbers you can block. Mm-hmm. And I also had a second question, if there's time.
Okay. What about blocking? Is there a way to do that?
If you go to your app store, there are numerous apps you can install that either use a blacklist or a whitelist and will block robocalls. So it's really easy to do. Read the reviews, look at the privacy policies, but there are a number of good apps out there that you can use on a smartphone.
Okay. What about landlines?
For landlines, what about that, Michelle?
Well, so there are some things that are coming, or that there's petitions to try and help landline companies block these. You'll want to communicate with yours to see what they have available to you, depending upon who your provider is, given you're in a different state, if they have anything available. Sometimes you can do it individually, numbers. Sometimes there are things that you can put in place, machines that you can buy and attach to your phone to limit the numbers that come through, and kind of accessories that way.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, because I use Comcast for my landline, but they limit the number of numbers you can block.
Yeah.
Okay. And I used those up a long time ago.
All right, Mark. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling, by the way. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Marlene sent a note on Facebook. She said, I tell scammers if I want a service, I'll call my people and then I hang up on them. I have my people call your people. So to speak. And, well, that's probably one way to do it. Hanging up is a good idea.
Yeah. You know, in the topic of all these spoofing, how do I block these numbers that are coming, is the subject matter of spoofing. So these scam artists can make your caller ID represent a different company name or a different phone number and make it look like it's your neighbor or your trusted hairstylist or, you know, whatever it might be to get the call through. So there are still limitations with the caller ID or the call blocking as to what's happening there. And just last week, I saw a number of different apps where I could just load them onto my smartphone and then start calling Larry and saying it's Cindy Crawford calling, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So just the average person, it's not really that high tech of a crime anymore to spoof a phone number. So it's very easy to do.
And there, Bluetooth has a way for hackers to get your phone information as well, isn't it? Do you guys know anything about that, Bluetooth?
Yeah, there are different means. You have to be careful with your Bluetooth. There's Bluetooth spam that can be out there. That's bluejacking is what it's called. And it's where the Bluetooth user can send what's kind of an e-business card to other Bluetooth users within a certain foot radius, usually about the 30-foot radius of the device. And if that card, that e-card, is then downloaded and added to that person's contact list, it would infect the user's address book. And so now we have that spam attack that can happen there. So you are sending messages to this infected device, and it can increase that radius as well. So it can act as an antenna or amplifier and just really cause havoc for your address book contents.
Sure.
And then your phone.
Talking today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, looking at all the scams that are out there, zeroed in a bit on phones and computers, but certainly there's a line open for you with your own question or experience at 800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Rebecca Haas, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we look at consumer protection issues with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection from the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Great, where Michelle directs that, as a matter of fact. Great to have them along. Appreciate your calls. And what's that number? It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or again, post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And we did have an email from Marilyn, who just recently, for the first time, I had a notice pop up that I might have a virus on my iPad, which I bought 4 years ago, looked up possible fixes, and found that iPads are not usually susceptible to viruses. It did say to keep up with updates, but maybe because it's old, I cannot find any ways to update it, even using the steps that were given. Any suggestions? One suggestion I'd have would be, where is she? We don't know where she's calling from, but there's a, I would, you know, go to one of the
Apple stores,
and just check in with one of their smart men or women, guys or gals that they have.
Yeah, because as far as I know, they continue to issue updates through their iTunes and app stores. You don't usually have to go in seek of them, and you can just look for software updates through the iPad, and it lets you know of any. So, and if she's not near one, I think you can go online as well and get a Genius that way.
Yeah, but that's what I do. Susan in Madison has a question for us. Susan, hi.
Hi, this is more of a comment than a question. When that woman talked about giving remote access to a person online I identified, I had a Netgear router that stopped working, and I kept calling the people using the number on the box, and they promised to send me a new router, and it was a runaround. At any rate, I went, and they wouldn't. I got a busy signal every time I called a number after that, so I went online and found another Netgear number. Mistake. The woman was very friendly, and she said the problem was not the router but a virus, and agreed to help me fix it. I'm really very careful about my, giving information over the phone especially, but I thought it was a Netgear person, and I gave them remote access. And she said, yes, it's a virus, and it cost $150 to remove. And at that point, I realized I was in big trouble and just said, I need to talk to my daughter before letting them fix my computer. And I just disconnected my router, changed all my passwords. And so there are numbers online that, you know, are direct dial. You can call a scammer yourself.
Well, she's sure right about that, isn't she, Sandy?
Yeah, another example of somebody being led astray by one of these fraudulent postings on a search engine. Yeah, you really have to be smart. This is a little bit different direction, but so many people have their phones set to automatically seek the closest Wi-Fi network. And we've heard from people who have been staying at hotels who go to the strongest signal and then realize later that it was not the hotel's Wi-Fi and, you know, had been surfing the net, entering passwords, and then those passwords were stolen. So it sounds like she handled everything correctly in disconnecting her Wi-Fi router and changing passwords, but...
Yeah, there we go. Thanks again, Susan. Appreciate the call. Bill and Nina up next with a comment. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Just wanted to give a thumbs up to the Federal Trade Commission service, Nomo Robo, that will let you block unlimited number of robocalls if your phone service goes through an internet service provider like a cable or UVerse company, because it works with a service called automatic simultaneous ring, and it only works if you have a computerized service, but there's no limit on how many phone numbers get blocked, and they update on their own.
Yeah, that's a great service. It's become very, very popular. It works very well, but it's only available if you use voice over internet. So for people with landlines, they're the ones who really suffer from the robocalls.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate it. We had a Facebook comment from Laura. It's just saying it is really important to do virus and malware scans and to have firewall installed and really to make sure everything's up to date. Run that stuff frequently. And I think that's pretty good advice.
You have to do that. There are some good free antivirus, anti-spyware applications out there, but sometimes you have to pay a little bit, you know, to be really get that extra level of protection. Some PCs default to an open firewall, so that's something that you really need to check on as well. But not having your firewall installed and not using antivirus software is just leaving the front door of your house open.
We had Tom next from West Allis, excuse me, with a comment. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, I'm sort of following up on that fellow that called in about 15 minutes, 10 minutes ago, talking about the flashlight app.
Yeah.
And he was concerned about some of the information that it could possibly gather. I have an Android-type smartphone, and I'm sure the iPhones work pretty much the same way. But in my case, when I want to download an application, you go out to what's called the Play Store. And there's all kinds of neat applications out there, but when you go to download an app, it'll come up before you accept it, and it'll say this app needs to have access to your contact list, your phone numbers, your email. It's just unbelievable what some of these apps all want to gain access to. So I just wanted to put that out there as a caution when people want to download an app. I mean, you could go out and say find a cooking app, which sounds real not very threatening at all. You know, it's a cooking app, but yet it'll want access to your email addresses, your phone numbers, everything. So I don't know how we get around that, really.
Yeah. And if you want the app, you have to accept that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I wish there would be a way to just get the app and say, no, you can't have access to this or that or that, but I still want your app.
Yeah.
But I guess if you want the app, you just have to kind of open yourself up.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's good. You have to pay attention to what you're downloading and read all of that. And so that goes to parents making sure that they have conversations or monitoring practices with the children, because they have contact lists as well. And they may just want the app and not care about the rest or understand that impact. So it goes to paying attention and education.
Thank you very much for calling. Sari in Madison up next. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say that I had called United Airlines on the phone because I wanted to book a flight for my mom who needed wheelchair accessible, you know, help.
Yeah, sure.
And to try to talk to someone, it just said hold on, and I was on continuous hold, and then people got on, and I told them what I wanted, and they said they would arrange it, and I told them we needed an aisle seat, whatever. And then when it got done, it told me the cost of the flight was $50 more than what it said on the website. And I said, I tried to book this through the website. Why is it different with you than it is on the website? And they said, well, because, you know, I timed out, that low fare isn't available anymore. So I went ahead and I booked it. And it turned out it was for a different company. And when I called back and said, what's going on here? They said, well, when United's lines get full, then they will transfer them to us. And then the bill came and it had a $50 charge on it to this travel company for the ticket.
Mm.
And I tried to call my credit card company to see if they could do anything, but they couldn't.
And there was nothing in the messaging when you were transferred that your call was being routed to XYZ because of lines being full?
No, and I kept thinking I was on the phone with United.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that becomes one of those situations where I would encourage you to file a complaint with the Bureau of Consumer Protection so we could take a look at that routing without disclosure information. You can do that online at datcp.wi.gov, or you can call our 800 number in Wisconsin, 1-800-422-7128, and they can mail you a form.
So, So it's 800-422-7128, or it's datcp.wi.gov, if I've got that correct. And we do have a link up on our Facebook page, too, if you have access to that as well, if you didn't get that written down. Thank you very much. And Neil and Springer, thank you for calling. Hi, you have a quick comment.
Yeah, I just got a comment, or actually two. It pertains to landline phones and the robocalls. I never went on the no-call list, and I'm getting less than folks that went on the no-call list. But anyhow, I got a phone with an annunciator, or it gives the voice or the name of the person, and it gives numbers or some other gibberish, so I just don't get up and answer it. And then a friend, a relative in Sweden, told me that if you answer your phone and tell them you don't want them to call, that's then a viable number.
And it's exactly that your friend or your relative from Sweden was exactly right. And we can talk some more about that. We need to take a quick look at the news and weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And then we'll be back with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Rennan. Please do stay with us. Well, we play a variety of roles in our lives, don't we? I think one that we all have in common is that we are consumers. We buy things pretty much every day. And most of the time, things go pretty well when we buy something. But there are times when things go wrong, and that's when people like Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Rennan step in and try and help out with the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have them with us today. And you may have a scam, or maybe you've had some experience with somebody who tried to scam you. Questions, give us a call, 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Sandy, there's some scams that have been coming around here lately that are, well, not necessarily new, but just recently they have been more prevalent.
Well, some of the things that we hear about on an ongoing basis, I feel like we talk about them a lot, but we still hear from people who are being ripped off by these fraudulent calls. One is the Microsoft tech support scam, which we've heard from callers about already. We're still hearing from people who are receiving the fake IRS calls, threatening to take action against you unless you pay by debit card or prepaid debit card immediately. We've been hearing a lot about federal grant scams where you'll receive an email or a phone call saying the federal government is giving away thousands of dollars in grants to people who pay their taxes on time. Well, guess what? That never happens. But any time you receive one of these calls out of the blue from somebody who's asking for personal information or a payment in advance of receiving something free, that's a red flag, and just know that that's a scam. Sometimes these people can be very aggressive, and they call back over and over and over, but it's a scam. And if you ever have a question about whether something's legitimate or not, you can call our toll-free hotline number. And we get calls from people every day who are asking these kinds of questions about calls they receive. And our toll-free number is 1-800-422-7128.
422-7128, 800 number. Okay. And one that seems to have popped up again is the Blacktoppers. Cruising, I guess I should say. Maybe carousing, too. Cruising through Wisconsin.
Right. This is one that seems to pop up every fall where crews kind of canvas or circulate areas and are trying to do a sales pitch where they say, we have this leftover blacktop. We can give you a deal. They put it down, cash on hand. They'll put the blacktop down, and then a rain will come and it'll all wash away. Or, we need a little bit more, and they come back, and then the price has more than doubled from what they quoted you to begin with. We've gotten calls and are looking at things in the Waukesha, Pewaukee, and actually Superior, Wisconsin area, where we know crews have been just in the last week. So, you know when your driveway needs to be resurfaced or replaced and repaired, and look and do your research ahead of time. Call your local businesses, get estimates, talk to neighbors, see who they use. It's not something you need to make a spontaneous decision about. It's kind of in the work maintenance plan of the home.
Jacob in Twin Lakes has a comment for us. Let's go there. Jacob, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me. I actually just have a quick story and a piece of advice for anybody out there that gets these scams.
Sure.
A couple months back, my grandma received a phone call, and it was from some sort of, they were trying to be a police office, and they were saying that I was in Indiana, and I was just in a drunk driving incident where I hit somebody, and the people could have been dead, and I was in jail at the moment. And they said that they needed money to bail me out, and they needed like $2,000 to bail me out. So my grandma, being the caring person that she is, she immediately just gives away her her credit card and her debit card information. And when it tries to go through, she had a limit on there. So there was a limit over like $200, I think it was, and it freezes the account and asks what it is for and stuff like that. So luckily the money didn't go through. But nobody bothered to call me to see if I was actually in jail or if it was a scam, you know. So I just, these people, they go out and they prey on the people that are the most vulnerable. And the sad thing is, most of the time it is the older people that are in the that are being preyed on. And
wow,
yeah. So
that's a story. Unfortunately, it's not the first time we've heard it.
No, it's not. And actually just reports in the last week where people have fallen victim to an Alaska situation. They were trapped in Alaska and it was thousands of dollars. So yay, grandma, that she had a limit on her credit card. That's a great safety tool there. But they often say, don't call anyone because I'm embarrassed. They try and be the grandchild or different situations there. It's an emergency. You need to get the money. The wiring the money, the immediate payment are all flags. Don't tell anyone is another flag. We have a senior guide at the Bureau of Consumer Protection that highlights all the scams that target everyone, but they seem to specifically target seniors. You can download it from our website or call the 800 number and have it mailed out. So other grandkids or parents who have parents that may want to get a copy of that and make sure they keep it with give it to grandma.
Yeah. And I just kind of wanted to throw this out there, but I know a lot of these internet scams, they come out of the blue, and they come from these advertisements from whatever websites that you wish that you're actually on and viewing. And just a piece of advice I'd like to give, if it sounds like it's too good to be true, really is too good to be true.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great advice. You have to be very skeptical because there are so many avenues for these criminals to come at you. So be very skeptical, and that is a good piece of advice.
Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate the call. Brian and Madison, your turn. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, hi. I got a quick question. I bought a laptop, not too long ago. It had Windows 8 on it, and I called the Microsoft support people to get my upgrade to 8.1. And I sit back and watch my cursor move around by itself. And then I want to upgrade to 10. And it's the same thing. And I sit back, and the guy was very nice. He had a Indian accent, and I asked him where's he located. He said he's from India, and the fortunately I didn't have any kind of passwords or anything. I don't really care that much for Windows 10, not yet anyway, but I'm wondering if this is dangerous at all, because after the guy and I were done, and he said he'd call back in an hour, and he did. And I ran AVG and Malwarebytes, and I did all the virus checking I could think of. So he put a program on my computer so that he could do the checking himself. And is there anything wrong with that? I mean, I called Microsoft, and I didn't give anybody any money or anything like that.
All right. Well, it sounds could be sounding a little suspicious.
Yeah, I think it does. What we received, we have a Windows computer at home, and we got there was a little pop-up suddenly on the screen, which seemed very suspicious to me because I didn't know Windows 10 was coming or anything. So I did some research, and I made sure I went to Microsoft.com, and I read about the upgrade, how it works, how it rolls out, the different progression that you go through. And it almost sounds like you were one of those people that was led astray into one of those fake websites, and they probably installed some kind of malicious software on your computer. And they could be using your PC as a bot to send out spam. They could be capturing information from your computer. I just don't know. It sounds like he may have said that he ran an antivirus program through it, but you don't know whether he did or not.
No, so, it was me that ran the Malwarebytes and AVG and a couple of others that I have. But you're right, you know... I would get these notices about how, oh, my update is coming. It could be tomorrow. It could be next month. From Microsoft, I think.
Yeah. Well, it may be from Microsoft, but maybe not.
Or maybe not.
Yeah. So how do we, what do you do? And is there a way to get a hold of Microsoft and actually determine if it was them?
There should be a contact phone number that would be available so you could get support. What I think, in the story that we have, what put it over the top for me, because people do need assistance with this. We're not all tech savvy, but is that put the program on so that person could be checking himself whenever he needed to. I'd be really concerned about this program. Microsoft shouldn't be they're busy. They don't have time to just be randomly checking individuals' computers. So I'd concentrate on getting that unloaded and cleaned and sweep your machine and have it really examined that way. Back to that individual problem. But yeah, there should be buried in there a phone number that you could get at with the Microsoft product to call for that customer care if you need it.
But get that off however you can. You may have to go to a professional to do that.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Sometimes, a standard Norton or whatever may not get that.
Right.
Oh. All right, Brian, thanks for calling. Good luck. Appreciate the call. I want to give Warren in Baraboo a chance to join us with a question. Warren, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was involved in a scam that involved Craigslist and a false eBay invoice.
Mm.
And kind of wondering if the guests have any... suggestions for me to try to solve this problem.
Well, I guess we need, Craigslist has many scams on it. Some are rental scams, some are fake check situations. So where they'll post something, you indicate that you're a false rental and you indicate that you want to get it. And so money is exchanged, but in larger increments, or the property isn't really there. So we encourage people with Craigslist to be monitoring on Craigslist the scams that are floating around. If it's a wire money in advance situation, be suspicious and skeptical of that. As far as false invoices and paying that, there's the fake check scams out there that check looks legitimate and real for a specific amount of money. You cash it. They want you to send some of that money back because they've given you too much. And you do that, and in the meantime, the check isn't real and doesn't clear, but you're responsible for the full amount, and this could be thousands of dollars. So fake invoices are to encourage you to pay for things that aren't you haven't actually received and aren't going to receive, and it looks like a real bill, too. So being cautious and aware of what you've purchased.
And that's what happened here. The invoice came. It looked like an eBay invoice, and it had involved PayPal. And I know PayPal and eBay worked together. And so I thought, well, this is okay. And paid with my cash on PayPal, and it was for purchase of a car. And that did not come. And so that I was just wondering if there was anything that now that I have been scammed, other than I reported that to the police here locally, but I didn't know if there was something else that I could do.
Yeah, you did the right thing by going to your local law enforcement agency. Some of these scams on Craigslist are very involved and complex. And, you know, just as you explained, the fake eBay account, the fake PayPal account, and, you know, criminals do that to add some legitimacy to their, so they don't look fake or they don't look like crooks. It's such a good idea when you're using Craigslist to go to their fraud page of their website and read through the postings on the most recent types of fraud that they've seen, because the criminals do target those high-dollar purchases like cars, boats, RVs, yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh, boy. And so should he, you know, filing a complaint going to do much? Probably not.
Probably not. He did the right. It's a law enforcement matter, and they'll communicate with FBI if they think it's across state lines or that kind of thing, which it most likely is.
And probably not a lot of hope.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Because it happens all the time. I'm sorry, Warren. I wish there was more positive information we could give you, but I wish you good luck. I hope things can turn out for you. I want to give Martin in Janesville a chance to join us as well. Martin, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a couple of comments. The first and foremost being that no matter what you're using, what operating system it is, be it iOS or Android or Windows or whatever, every single one of them is susceptible to viruses. But the main comment that I have is about the caller that said something about when you're downloading apps on Android, you see all the stuff that the app tries to, says it's going to have access to. And what's going on is, I don't remember correctly, but I know it's either going to be in the next version of Android or in some update that Android is doing, they're actually going to give Android users a way to block access from apps and only accept the access that the users themselves want the apps to have. So if you're downloading that flashlight app and it's saying it wants to access your contacts and all this and that, and you're going, it's a flashlight, they'll give you that chance to actually say, no, you're not going to access any of this stuff because you don't need to. You're just a flashlight.
Yeah.
So it is something that Android knows about, Google knows about, and they've been working on trying to implement that in for the consumer so they have more control over stuff like that.
Oh. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, it hasn't been that many years ago that those privacy notifications were not required, and we didn't have an idea about how our data was being shared. And I know the federal government, including the Federal Trade Commission, has been putting pressure on these companies to give consumers better choices about sharing their data. But, you know, there is a balance here because all this is available to us free, and they talk about the information economy, and the currency is personal information that it is shared and sold through these apps. So it could result in these companies, instead of giving their apps, making them available free of charge, we may be expected to pay something for them.
Right? Yeah. Well, I'd rather pay something for them.
Rather than have your data shared?
Yeah. Thanks, Martin. Appreciate the call. John, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yeah. I don't understand how the scam works. I'm selling, you can do it on Craigslist. And I received a check. I sold it for $350. I received a check for like $1,100 or $1,200. I don't have it with me now. But so how does this scam work? Because technically they sent me a check for more than it's worth.
Yeah.
Well, the answer is actually an easy one. The check is fake. And the way federal banking laws work, what they want you to do is deposit the check, send them the extra, and then in a week or two, your bank will discover that the check was fake, and you're liable for the entire amount. And so crooks understand how the banking laws can be used in their favor. And these fake check scams, I tell you, they're all over the place. And some of those checks look extremely legitimate. And sometimes they'll have the name of a well-known bank on them with the logo. And usually banks will be able to detect that it may be fake. Sometimes not, though.
And if they don't, it's not on them. It's on you.
It's on the individual consumer who cashed the check.
Right, and they're getting so good. They're using legitimate routing information and banking account with a different name, and so it's legitimate information. So that's how they're faking out the banks, too.
Yeah. So if you get something like that, don't cash it, I guess.
No, anytime a Craigslist seller offers you to send you a check for more than the agreed upon amount, it is a scam.
It is definitely a scam. All right, thank you, John, for calling. Appreciate your call very much. We've got about a little less than a minute to go. Any final words of caution that you want to bring in, Michelle?
Just remember to hang up. Don't engage if it's a phone call.
Right. And this is Cybersecurity Month, and we focus today on that. It's really a shared responsibility. You can't count on Microsoft to protect you. You have to do some things for yourself. So monitor that very closely.
Well, thanks to both of you. And you'll be back, what, about a month or so? We'll do this all over again? For sure. Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle Ryan, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They'll be back in about a month, and we'll go through this again with them for sure. And it's always great to have them along. I always learn something, and I bet you do as well. Sometimes it's kind of sad, unfortunately. But we've been able, hopefully, to save some people some money in this whole process. And we're going to help you out with your garden tomorrow. Barb Larson, the UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Kenosha County, is going to stop by and talk about how to extend the garden season. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.